Good morning and welcome to Backyard and Beyond. This morning we're visiting with Dr. Rudolph Daniels. Good morning to you, and I'm going to call you Rudy.
Yes. Good morning, Yvonne. Thank you, and yes. I'm calling you Yvonne.
All right, that's great. And we're really glad that we're calling each other by name because you are going to be in Atlantic this coming Sunday, October 20th at 2 p.m. at the American Legion Memorial Building. So, Rudy, you're going to tell us about trains across Iowa. And I want to know first, how did you ever get interested in trains?
Well, it's really quite simple. When I was a child, I couldn't decide whether I wanted to be a locomotive or caboose when I grew up. So I'm still deciding.
Okay.
So that's how I got interested in trains. So trains, there was a railroad depot within a block from the house where I grew up as a child, and I was always just fascinated by them. And I guess it's still part of my childhood or adult childhood or whatever to still be fascinated and interested in trains.
And beyond being fascinated and interested, you have done so much research and so much sharing of what you have found out. And we're going to talk about that in a little bit. But first, I want to have you talk a little bit about your career, especially as it relates to Western Iowa Tech Community College. What was your job there?
At Western Iowa Tech, I was a department head first of social studies and then of railroad engineering technology. In other words, we had a conductor training program, and I was in charge of that conductor training. And then later they made me an assistant dean as part of the package. So I actually held classes they were for a two-year degree and to become a conductor and then eventually an engineer or administrative positions, hopefully for most of them in the railroad industry.
Mm-hmm. So do you keep in touch with any of your students? I'm thinking it has to be very rewarding to know that you're helping young people go out into this very interesting career.
Yeah, that was years ago, and the students literally are all over the country, and they work shift. Of course, railroad work is shift work. It's a 24/7 occupation, and once in a while I will hear from one of them, but not that often. They're busy pursuing their lives at this point.
But exciting careers for many of them, I'm sure. Because as you say, you know, anywhere in the world, almost, there's a railroad. And saying that, I know that you've worked in some other countries.
Yes. I taught in Germany for a while, and I traveled extensively throughout Europe. And at that time, of course, there was the Soviet Union, and I traveled throughout the Soviet Union at that time.
How different are trains among the nations?
Well, the difference, first of all, the gauge of the track is pretty much the same in the United States, Europe, and Central America. The Russians have a different gauge. They have a 5-foot gauge. So there are some differences. Locomotives today are basically the same. In other words, you have a diesel engine that turns a generator that produces electricity for electric motors that are attached to the axles that actually drive the locomotive or pull the train. And that is just about general throughout the world today. Glass steam locomotives were made years ago in China. And China today, of course, uses diesel electric, we call them diesel locomotives. So that's pretty much universal. The design might be a little different. The voltages and amperages may be a little different, but it's basically the same concept and pretty much the same design throughout the world today.
And where are most locomotives made today?
Most locomotives, well, there are three really big places that make locomotives today. In the United States, a lot of them today are made by General Electric in their plants in the United States. Siemens makes locomotives in Europe, mostly in Germany. And, of course, in Russia today, they have their own manufacturing plants for locomotives. Hmm. These are if you talk about volume, you know, and I'm producing
sure
locomotives in volume, and then, of course, sale to other countries. These are the main producers today.
Very interesting. So trains have had such an impact on all of us wherever we live in different degrees. And that's, I'm sure, one of the things you're going to be talking about this Sunday when you talk about trains across Iowa. Can you give us a few clues of some of the things you'll be mentioning?
Okay. I think one way to put it in general would be to say that indeed railroads and trains have had an incredible impact on Iowa, in the sense that Iowa could never have become the magnificent farming area in the 19th century without the railroads. But we're going to see something else on Sunday, and that is the impact that Iowa has had on the railroad industry. And that is fascinating. And, LaVon, I'm going to keep that part secret for Sunday afternoon.
That's good. But all we just kind of visualize where Iowa is in the United States, and that'll kind of give us somewhat of a clue, I think. But that'll be exciting to hear all of that. And
right, and LaVon, you're so right. Geography will play a role in this.
And lots of other history.
Where I was located.
Yes,
yeah.
Well, at one time there were five trains, different trains that went through Atlantic, and I think a lot of people don't even realize that. Most of them are gone, but at one time, little ones and big ones and all kinds, and so I'm sure you're going to talk about some of that.
Right.
You've been doing all of this research through your life about trains, you've ended up writing five books plus lots of other articles. Let's talk a little bit about some of the books that you've produced.
Okay. My most recent one, we should have a book signing on Sunday.
Yes.
And that's called The Great Railroad War. And my book is the only complete history of United States railroads in World War I. And we would have not have been able to win World War I without the railroads. Simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling the story of how we won the war through the railroads.
And that's the government took over the railroads, correct?
They took over in the sense of renting the larger mainline railroad companies. They didn't bother with the smaller companies, but they took over in the sense of renting the larger companies so they could function as one great big unit throughout the country. And that's what they wanted. They wanted to do away with the competition that these railroads formerly had that was actually sponsored by the government. So during the war, they wanted a huge one-unit, a cooperative industry rather than sponsoring the competition that it did before the war. So there was kind of reversal on government policies. And in doing so, they kind of, in some ways, foreshadowed the larger railroad companies that we have today.
Okay, so that's all a part of our history and still affecting somewhat the way our lives go. And you've also done some work, as I understand, online, an education section of the railroad industry. Can you tell us just a bit about that?
Yes. Well, in two ways. I was approached by the railroad industry to write an official history of United States railroads. And that was published 20 years ago as Trains Across the Continent. And during that period, the Federal Railroad Administration asked me to develop, which I did, a website, an educational website. And it was from preschool level through high school to educate children of that age group, preschool through high school, different levels or different, like different grade levels and so forth, about trains, what to look for, and hopefully two things: to make children more conscious of trains and railroad safety, and yet at the same time to encourage people in the high school years to look upon the railroad industry as a possible career choice.
Okay, well, we've just hardly scratched the surface here with our short visit, but I'm so glad we got to visit with you Rudy Daniels, who will be here on Sunday at the American Legion Memorial Building. Lots of you call that the Armory. And starts at 2 o'clock for one of our Sunday afternoon programs. And as Rudy said, we have some books of his to sell, and he'll be willing to sign those and answer lots of questions if people have questions.
Yes, and LaVon, may I say to everyone, all aboard.
All right. And yeah, we're going to be on that railroad with you. So thanks very much to Rudy Daniels, and we'll see you on Sunday. Until next time, here is a thought from Marianne Wiggins. She says, "What thrills me about trains is not how big they are or how much equipment they are, but the fact that they're moving and they embody a connection between two unseen places."